Welcome to Stemming in Stilettos with Dr. Tasha, a podcast for and about women of color in STEM. These women are brave, beautiful, and brilliant. Their stories deserve and need to be heard. Their voice strong, their message clear, their experiences priceless. Now let's welcome this wonderful winning woman of color to the show.
All right. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stemming in Stilettos with Dr. Tasha. I am here. Whew. I am so excited about this interview. I know I say that almost every show, but for real, I am very excited about interviewing, not even interviewing, having a conversation with Ursula Spencer. Just the dope nerds. The work that you do, AI, your past, your STEM story, where we're going, all the things. I mean, y'all, we're going to have a whole full-on conversation today.
Yes. I'm excited. Thank you so much. Do you like to be called doctor? Because I know if I had my doctor, I'd be like, no, excuse me, doctor.
I think I'm at a point now to where those who know, know.
Okay.
So it's just like, you call me Tasha, true. Natasha, true. Dr. Anderson, true. Dr. Tasha, true.
All true, right?
It's all true.
Well, I'm going to call it, listen, put some respect on those degrees. I'm going to call you Dr. Tasha. I am beyond stoked. Like, from the time we had a conversation, our initial meeting, yeah. Literally up until, and I'm not even on coffee. Like, I'm not even on my neck. This is a natural high and excitement. I am really honored to be on your platform and to have this conversation. Like you said, it's a conversation with you. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, thank you. I mean, so I'm happy and I'm always surprised. I don't know why, after doing this for about, I don't know, 3-4 years now, I'm always surprised when people say yes.
Why? This is a dope platform. Oh my God. Stemming in Stilettos. And we'll get to the fact that I have a mean stilettos game. So,
okay, man, let me tell you. So I think it's because I'm always mindful that, you know, people are all, you know, they're busy, they're doing stuff, but I'm also mindful of the fact that some people aren't ready to tell their story. They don't feel safe enough to tell their story. So when people say yes, okay, I feel like I have to honor that. And I'm happy and I'm just so touched that people would take their time to talk to me.
I love that. And,
you know, so I don't take it for granted. I know what it is to be, and I know you know what it is to be a woman in tech or in STEM, and then a Black woman in tech and STEM. It's just, there's so much that goes along with that sometimes some folks are just like, yeah, I'm not ready. I can't get these words out. It's too much. I'm still in the middle of it. Or I don't know, you know, it's like, it's just a whole lot. So
I wish them peace with that. Right. Yeah. Because you're right. It is a whole lot. I think I've always been transparent because of a place of, you know what, I'm tired. I'm tired. And I want us to, and it'll happen eventually. I'm not even sure. I'm not that eloquent with words necessarily all the time. And so I'm not sure how we'll frame it in the future, or maybe it'll take the generation of women techies behind us, the young ladies behind us. And that is the fact that it's not because we are Black. It's not because we're women. That's not our fault, right? No. Like, right? It's the constructs that are in place.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to when we're able to frame that in a sentence so that it's made extremely clear how we were born is not It's your problem. Your being society, being the constructs, being right. It's not our problem. And there's nothing that we can do about it. And I'm hoping that there's nothing that people don't do about it, that they're, right? That they're comfortable in their skin enough and feel authentic enough and feel transparent enough for whatever transparency means for them to show up as they are in the tech space, in a male dominated field that isn't necessarily representation of what we see, right? Of what we would like to see more of, I should say. So I wish them, I wish folks peace with that for real.
And I think it's, I mean, there's a part of me that felt that on a very real level, because it's the same thing that I wish. It's just, there's nothing like being able to walk into work, if you're walking into work these days, and being your full self and not just be not even a thing, right?
Yeah.
It just be what is, right? Mm-hmm. So, and you're right, it's not on us. It is not us. It is not an us issue, right? Mm-hmm. It is the environment that, the environment and the culture, the rules, the regulations, all those things that have been placed upon us and then made our responsibility.
Yeah. Right? And I think, I know for a fact, I was actually having a similar conversation, or it got touched on with a peer of mine, a gentleman who is a camera. He essentially is like the camera guy for different mayors. Right. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of having just the conversation about being BIPOC in tech.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about my early years. When it, like I started my tech career right out of high school. And so, and I was sharing this with a different friend. It was a colleague, a peer out. We were both in Conscious Venture Lab, which is a business accelerator, an award-winning business accelerator out here in Baltimore. And we were accepted to it, and we just became fast friends. And we were kind of just talking about like microaggressions and how to deal with that, right, et cetera. Yeah. And I remember, and I was sharing with him how, and when I first started my career, there was a boldness, not necessarily outwardly with fashion, because fashion is is another love of mine, but there was a boldness at that youth age where I was on some, listen, you can't tell me, like, you're not going to tell me, right? So, and it wasn't that I was showing up sassy or any of that, right? I addressed those microaggressions, the sexism, the ageism, I addressed them like head on.
Yeah.
If it was, and I didn't care at that time, you mature and you realize you don't need to make court with everyone.
Love that. Yeah.
Right. Like you learn that you got to play chess. You know what I mean? And we could probably touch on that another time, but you have to learn, you learn through lessons and through maturity that there's a way to address situations, right? Yeah. And this is actually like just advice for the techies coming up, especially like, I love how bold these millennials and Gen Z are not playing no games.
They are not playing any games at all.
Right. No. They are like, this is what I want. This is what you get in me, or I'm out. Like,
right.
And I love that.
I love it.
They want to live their lives. They want different experiences. They do not believe in this, the rules of you are to stay in a place and work until 60, whatever, and then retire. They're like, yo, you got 2 years.
And you then got two real. Years. And I'm out.
And I'm out, right? I'm taking my knowledge, my experience, all of what I've learned, and I'm out. And you know what? What is wrong with that? That is what life is supposed to be about, right? But we as BIPOC women in STEM, in tech, any form of that, that wasn't taught to us, right?
No, it was not.
And
I think it's partly generational. And then partly where we all grew up.
Yes.
And because I can tell you that, like, my mom is probably one of the boldest people I've ever met in my life still. But she couldn't have prepared me for this world, you know, for the world.
I agree with you.
You know, she was always, you know, you need to stick up for yourself. Don't let anybody talk to you any kind of way. She's all like all of that still. Right. But I still wasn't prepared to walk into a workplace in there and like not see a person who looked like me and to have a person just so. I just have experiences where I felt so dismissed, mm-hmm. you know, in places where it's just like, whoa, how do I deal with that?
And it also made you wonder, like, okay, like, why are you so offended? Like,
right? Like, geez.
What's the offense, right? When I started right out of high school too, it really was all the things, right?
Yeah.
Oh, she's a female. She's a woman. I realize female is offensive to some. So let me say woman. she's a young woman. She's 18. You know, who is she coming in here? And at that time, I was coming in as a contractor. So during that time, the thoughts around contracting was different.
I was going to say, wait, as an 18-year-old contractor?
Yeah, I was coming in as a...
You got to tell this story.
Yeah, so it was more or less like, okay, so here's this 18-year-old BIPOC, you know, African-American woman coming in to employees, right? How she know more than us, right? Everyone knows back in the day, and if you don't know, back in the day, yeah. right, late 90s, in the 90s, let's say, right, going into the early 2000s, contractors were like enemies to employees because yes. The thought around it was that management, leadership, the company was bringing us in, and we knew more, I mean, not for nothing. Sort of, kind of, but that we knew more than the staff that they had hired, right? That we had special expertise, et cetera. So it was almost like a threat, right? Because there were scenarios where contractors were hired and then replaced the actual employees, right? That mm-hmm. wasn't the case in the scenario. And it also wasn't the case as I think about some of my other colleagues during that time. It's just that we just decided to take a calculated risk to not be an employee and went 1099. That's really all it meant, right? But unfortunately, because like you said, you know, the representation doesn't necessarily, you know, isn't vast and certainly not back in the day, it wasn't. So it was very much the who does she think she is thing. No matter mm-hmm. how professional I was, no matter how results driven I was.
Yeah, you were going to get it.
Yeah, I was, right. Anyway.
You were going to, I mean, I think back to one of my first experiences and coming in fresh out of college, and they brought me in to do 3D CAD. And the folks who worked there was still doing, you know, 2D CAD. And then they had like, you know, they still had the drawing boards and the T-squares and all the things. Right. So, and then they bring me in. And when I tell you, it was super hard. They were not trying to hear anything I was saying to them.
Yeah.
And then maybe about 3 months later, because at first I just came in as a 3D modeler.
Okay.
And then I ended up, then they promoted me to running the whole CAD department, right?
Yes, promotion.
Okay. those men were like, ma'am. Not even ma'am.
Lady. Not even ma'am. Other names. Yeah. And at the time, right, we didn't know we need mentorship. We just found anyone who we could confide in to vent about those. For me, that was my, and still is, that was my family. Mm. And, you know, a bunch of, and then that's the other thing too, being an alpha female. Right. So we very much have the we're not taking no ish off of anyone kind mm-hmm. of thing. Right. I got into tech at 18 and I was just doing data entry. But then at 21, and this was around Lotus Notes, if anybody remembers Lotus Notes. Mm-hmm. But then at 21, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start my own tech company. And that's what I did.
Whoa, that I didn't realize. I didn't realize that it was that
short.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. So from 18 to up, literally up to 21, because on my 21st birthday is when I signed the contract with an agency, is I used that time to be head down. Well, yes, I got to live life a tiny bit, but while everybody was out partying, I was in those. Now those textbooks, if you see in the back, they used to be that thick, but yep. Like one book, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
So I would just be heavy into the tech. I think it's a God-given talent that I'm able to, one of them at least. I think whoever you believe in, I think, let's say the universe, I think a number of talents we get instilled in us. And then if we identify them early, you can nurture them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think I still have a little bit of that sort of like this visionary and foresight. And that was at that time I was able to determine watching the market, things like that in tech, what was the next thing. So while everybody was out getting their Microsoft and their Windows NT certification, I am aging myself. I'm a woman of a certain age. While everybody was doing that, I was like, no, that's not the big, that's going to be saturated. I'm going for my Lotus Notes administration. I'm going to learn how to build Lotus Notes servers. And sure enough, that was a thing, right? You were a unicorn if you knew how to do that.
Yeah.
And when you are, let's put an air quote around that, when you are considered a unicorn or where it's limited skill set at the level that I aim to play at, and that's as a senior consultant, as a senior Lotus Notes administrator, number one, the numbers were crazy, especially for that. I mean, there is a reason, but for all intents and purposes, there's no reason for like a 20-something-year-old making $70 an hour back
right.
then.
Back then, right.
And so there was a lot of living la vida loca when...
I bet.
Right? Like I moved out of my parents' house at 19. Like I was living it up, you know? But I'm glad that if you are watching, listening, and you're an aspiring techie, go for it. Go for it, especially now. Back then, in the 90s, in the early 2000s, when, you know, during the whole internet boom, right? The bubble, the boom, all of it, like when it really started to thrive. And if you got in early with all of those, literally anyone that got in with Google, Microsoft, all of them, then they're definitely multimillionaires now, right? So during that time, BIPOC, specifically African-American women, Latina, Asian women, I mean, it's really interesting. The numbers were higher in the 80s. They started to really trail off. During the internet boom, et cetera. And then the numbers are actually lower than back in the day, which is.
So what do you think what do you think happened? What do you know happened? I know you know what happened.
Who wants to deal with it?
Yeah.
Who wants to deal with, and I mean, right from the interview process. Who wants to deal with it? We don't even have enough hours to talk about the number. I mean, stories that would break people,
right?
You know what I mean? That would break their spirit. That would you know, cause them to be like, you know what? Pardon my French, but F this. I'm gonna go pursue something else.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it for me.
Yeah. And at the time we didn't really thrive on, you know, self-care and, you know what I mean? And mental health, right? It wasn't spoken about out loud. And there was also a thought within our community that, you know, those type of things were only for the rich and wealthy, right? We didn't know that we could take advantage of those things, right? I think, and this is my opinion, others might have a different viewpoint. It wasn't pushed to our communities. We weren't asked to be speakers at conferences.
Well, you're right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that.
We weren't being asked. And I mean, I was from age 21, well into my 30s. Right up until I left corporate, actually. I was in a senior contractor, senior whatever. Senior was all with, or team lead was in front of my name, right? So we weren't getting asked, those that looked like us weren't getting asked to go into schools to talk to kids, right? I didn't even know that was like a thing, right? And so we tend to latch on to what we see. Mm-hmm. And that's just human nature, right? And that's why you hear out of our community that representation matters, especially positive representation and impact, positive, impactful representation matters. So I don't think women, young girls or women even knew like to pursue a career in IT. And so that's why.
I said you stayed.
Well, I'm not competitive, not in the traditional sense.
What does that mean?
That means that although I'm not competitive in the traditional sense, I also was like, I wish I would try to break me. So you know what I used to do? It was fuel to purposely show up, be dressed to the nine, know my ish, purposely. I delved heavily into the disciplines that I'm a subject matter expert in. I mean, it was nonstop for me. And it was fuel for me to dare I say, and I wasn't even on some, I'm gonna prove you wrong, as much as it was, let me show you what we could do. Like, because I knew it was, listen, I have really good girlfriends who are also in tech who have similar journeys as far as like, you know, breaking the glass ceiling. That was also, I have to be honest, I'm a Brooklyn girl. So even though I'm truly sweet and I'm unassuming in the, you know, like I'm not rough and tough and all of it, I was very much the, oh, I'm gonna kick this wall down. Like what you're not gonna do is tell me what I can't do.
Well, now I felt that. I felt,
you know what I mean? So
yeah.
You know, so I just think to your point about like what sort of like some core values that your mom instilled in you. Mm-hmm. I was surrounded by, you know, really strong women who didn't live their soft life. Like, you know, soft life is all the rave right now. It wasn't called that back then, but it wasn't, these were soft women, but they still had an alpha about them.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, people close to me actually felt like I was too sensitive. And maybe even former colleagues felt like I was too sensitive, but I don't think they realized that the sensitivity, much of the sensitivity, let's put air quotes around that, because I just think that's a way to dismiss people's feelings.
Right.
It very much was a pile on, you know what I mean? When I'm just thinking of a couple of, if not many of the situations, I'm considered I'm being hired at, you know, high numbers for all intents and purposes. And forget about the numbers as much as just to claim the, you know, senior this or team that, right?
Right.
So you're hiring me because you believe and or you see the track record that I know what you're hiring me for. But then I'm in a server room building a server, racking that server in a data center. And then you walk up to me and you are the VP of the company and you tell me, don't break a nail. I beg your pardon.
Right. Like, sir, so inappropriate.
I beg your pardon. Yeah. Or I won't go into full detail, but in a meeting, I'll just tell you the climax of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
In a meeting, I am the only, and that's the other thing too, right? We are not sensitive. We are aware of the fact that we are the only in these rooms.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so with that, some may think of it as pressure. I can imagine some of us women, you know, why they didn't, you know, maybe they thought about tech, heard the stories and was like, I don't want to be dealing with that, is because there is a shadow pressure that we have as a community on us to be 10 times as better as everybody else. We can't show emotion. Literally all of the opposite gender, we could be having a conversation. It could be a lively debate, professional debate. All of the opposite gender can, you know, be yelling, doing all the things, right? And it'd be like, it's all good. And we do it and we're aggressive. We have an attitude. We're the angry Black woman. Mm-hmm. So there's like this shadow pressure mm-hmm. on top of doing our jobs, our careers at a maximum
level. And right? with any modicum of ambition or passion about it.
Yes. Yeah. So then you start to, and depending on who you are, and we're all human, right? Everybody has their breaking point. That constant, it's like a, I'm looking for a mallet. It's like a mallet, right? Yep. So you remember, you know that game where you have
to hold?
Yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's like anytime we pop up in the room and we're being our awesome selves and we're being our knowledgeable self, our subject matter expert selves, et cetera, all the things, it's like this constantly. Yeah. Imagine that damn near every day. Like it becomes too much. So I would imagine that outside of representation, not knowing that these careers existed, also there was, and there continues to be, huge push in coding. Everybody doesn't want to be a developer.
Right.
So I don't think our community also were aware of all these other fantastic tech professions. Right. Project management, tech sales. I mean, where you can live well for you and your family. Right. Right. And so because we weren't aware, because, you know, where we already weren't in the rooms to even know that this were to be true, is statistically and reports show of why, you know, more of us were not. That obviously is different. We're seeing a huge influx of, even though, yes, percentage wise, it's still lower than other ethnic groups, but it's still higher than what it has been, right?
But we have to start, you know, it's like the number's still low. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we all agree it's dismally low, but I do feel like there is now more interest in pursuing it, especially since I think we've done a good job. And I say we as a collective, right?
Yes.
Have done a good job of showing, in some instances, of showing the vast array of things that people can do. Hey, if you're not a coder, it does not mean you can't be in STEM or you can't be in tech. Yes. You know, it's like there are other avenues in which you can be, you know, you can contribute to what, you know, what's happening in tech and IT. And so I think that messaging is out there and it is permeating in a really good way. And I think that is what we need. But, you know, I also feel like providing a platform like this and having people like you on to tell the story and to actually talk to the statistics and the things that you know for sure.
Yeah.
Is awfully powerful, especially for people who look like us, because it's still about getting the message out, right? It's still got to get into places. It's still got to get into classrooms. It's still got to, you know, they have to see people who look like them doing these things that they don't even know they can do.
Yes.
You know, and for us to make it human, you know, regular and normal and not necessarily this, you know, when I tell people I'm an engineer, people are like, oh, you must be really smart. And I'd be like, I mean, yes, but like, I don't know what you mean, you know?
Well, because so there's that sensitivity, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are, and trigger is a strong word, but we tend to be triggered by statements like that because society and in the tech community, we have been told so much that we're not supposed to be.
Right.
So you're not supposed to be the smartest in the room, or at least one of. You're not so, you know, it doesn't just happen in tech, right? And I want to prefix some things, like, and I should have prefixed this before. In sharing these stories, we are not making STEM like this horrible, like dismal.
Not at all.
It not at all.
Provided a life and experiences that I don't think I could have had otherwise. So no, I don't hate it. I love it.
Yes, there is a love for it. And it's why I'm 30, literally, this is 30 years for me in the tech industry. And so I wouldn't have stayed that long if I did not love it. Right. But that was the other thing too. I'm not gonna stop doing something that I love because like these folks got a problem, whoever these folks are, right?
Right.
And so I want your listeners to know that we love this industry. We also don't wanna, as my mom would say, throw the glitter at you. Like we don't, it's not always rosy, but that, to be honest with you, when you are considered the underestimated, mm-hmm. I love that term, that new term, by the way, as opposed to underserved. I don't know. I have a feeling about that. But when you are part of a group that gets underestimated in any industry, these stories are alike. Right. And so what I think we're both saying, Dr. Tasha, is push through.
Yeah.
Like they're not stronger than you, which is why microaggressions exist and yeah. why. And now I'm not going to lie. There are going to be days where it does feel like, you know what, I could go do something else. Mm-hmm. But there's a saying that I think applies to all of this. When you're having a breakdown, that's when you have your breakthrough.
Yeah.
And I think for me, that breakthrough, when I was just like, oh, I'm not going to let anybody stop me, is when, and that's the story I started to tell. I can laugh about it now. I assure you, this story is not funny. And I wish the Me Too movement was back then. And I wish that I knew to sue everybody right. involved.
Right.
I was in a meeting. I'm the only, right? So the only female, the only woman, the only person of color, the only African American, all the onlys, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the meeting, you know how it is in tech or any conference, you know, any, you know, large meeting. I want you to imagine a large conference table. We're all around it. We're talking about doing project management type stuff, right? And I'm one of the senior administrators for this project, right? At the end, everybody's talking. I forget what even would have, there's nothing a part of this conversation that would have warranted this gentleman's, lack of a better term, comment. And that was, and I quote, if this whole IT thing doesn't work out, you could be a stripper in Atlanta.
Wow.
And I hope he sees this. How you doing?
Wow. Okay.
But it gets better. I didn't make court by this time in my career. I knew, all right, I'm not going to flip this in Beyonce style, flip this table over like she did in her video. I'm not going to do that. Okay. And I didn't make court right there. Obviously, I don't think he even realized how many levels that was offensive.
Right. Right?
And the dead silence in the room should have said something, but it didn't. Instead of anybody taking up for me, they just moved the conversation along. That was number one. Then when everybody dispersed, I go to my desk. I wait for everybody to leave. Of course I go, because the VP was there. By the way, the VP,
right.
when this comment was made, I go back to the VP. Yeah. So, how are we going to handle this situation? Anybody want to guess what this VP said? I also hope he's watching too.
Wow. He said, we're not doing anything.
I don't want to get involved.
You're involved. You heard the comment.
You were sitting right there and you. So I am sharing that story not to call anyone out.
Right.
But sort of, but not to call. And the call out is, you handled that poorly. That is not a leadership. That is not a leader.
Right.
Right. And there's so many risks with that. Right. Like he totally put the company at risk for a lawsuit. Yes. Correct. Yeah. I mean, for a gazillion of dollars, I could have sued. Didn't know to do that at the time.
Yeah.
I just knew what I knew how to do best. So my response to that was, oh, you're not going to handle it? So let me warn you, you're not going to like how I handle it.
Then
I left the office
right.
and I went and I handled it the way that I saw fit. Now, to me, the call out in that is with hopes that, one, a couple of lessons that as a person who was, I don't like calling myself victim in this particular, like that's too strong, but right. was on the opposite end of such a horrific, unprofessional commentary.
Right.
That I should have escalated that with HR, like the proper channels would have been, right? Like escalate that to HR, like do all the things, all of these rules that they keep placing, the construct keeps placing on us to follow, right? So I should have did all the things, and not for nothing. I should have, even though you as a person of, as a BIPOC person, I think we also get tired of this too. We get tired of feeling like we have to keep teaching everyone to be diverse and inclusive and equitable. Like it's exhausting. But at that time, and this happened, I was in my 20s. So it was many years ago. So at that time, I also should have laid out for the VP how, sir, you need to return to some leadership courses because that wasn't the way to handle that. Right. So I'm sharing. Oh, and by the way, I resigned. Like I was like, it's no way I'm staying here. Right.
Yeah.
So I just share things like that. And that is one of a gazillion. I mean, in 30 years, I have tons of stories, but
trust that, I'm sure.
Right. But I'm just sharing that so that your listeners and your viewers understand that these things will happen. What I've learned throughout my career, both professionally and personal on a personal level, is cooler heads prevail. And you will, regardless of a situation, regardless in life, someone is going to offend you, right? Whatever is the foundation of your moral compass. You know, that will be infiltrated at some point. What you have to learn how to do, and it's not something that we were taught, community, not all of us, right? Like it's not something that from a community standpoint, because our parents had different type of jobs or our initial tribe had different type of careers. So we weren't always mentored on how to handle these type of situations. So I'm sharing that cooler heads prevail, and you do not always have to make court right there. You actually come out on top when you're able to assess what happened, get out whatever anger may that be through a confidant or through your own way, working out, I don't know, whatever your stress relief is, so that you can then return, address that situation. And don't let that pile up, you know? That's when it's not healthy, right?
Right. So. And that's when you're talking about burnout and some other stuff that has been sort of in the news, but it's very real. Right?
It's very real. And then you can't perform at the excellence that we all know we all can be, you know, and that we all can do. So,
So I need to switch gears because I want to talk to you about a couple of things.
Yes.
So this past weekend was at the Black Engineer of the Year conference. It was in DC. It was lovely. Lovely. Mm-hmm. And so I was moderating a session and we were talking about diversity and digital transformation. And it had me thinking about you. And I was wondering what you thought was, if you could, like some of the areas within the realm of digital transformation that you thought were the biggest, that made the most changes in the world. And I know that's a broad question.
No, that's an awesome question.
But I also want to kind of couch that with which of the digital transformations kind of brought us more into kind of like a diversity reckoning is the other part.
Ooh, that's a good one. Diverse reckoning is what you called it?
Yeah, that's what I'm calling it. Yeah.
I love that. All right. So for the first question, definitely everything web 2. So what does that mean? Like getting off of anybody remember dial-up?
Yes.
Anybody remember putting your AOL CD just to get to the damn internet? Like,
yes.
So certainly the advancement of the web And for the aspiring techies, you can go Google the difference between the web and the internet. There is a difference, by the way. A lot of people don't realize that, right? So it's just the advancement in, I mean, just that alone, right? But obviously the connectivity, the way in which we connect now to the internet and to the web. I would say that level of it, the networking component of it. What else was impactful? You know, I'm trying to get a little bit out of my business mind, but in my business mind, I'm thinking about the savings company has with servers.
Yeah.
The servers used to be
so huge and rooms long and wide and all
right, things. All yeah. the things, right? And now they're literally like this slim, and, right? Right. And then companies used to literally have like data warehouses that were, you know, like data centers that were right. entire, like small cities, right? So I'm just thinking about things like that. Certainly how we connect, right? That advancement has shot everything through the roof. What's interesting though is even with all of that advancement, do you know that there are close to 16 million middle school and high school students that do not have access to digital tools or connectivity in the United States?
I know. And I struggle with this, right?
Because yeah.
I don't get it. I don't. In my mind, I'm like, I don't know how this is possible. Like, how is it that you go to school? There are schools.
Yeah.
And in the United States where the internet is not a thing.
Yeah. And it's kind of twofold, right? You got the technology gap is at home. Right. And it's happening. We're seeing it more in BIPOC communities.
Of course. I don't get it, but I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're right. The fact that there that isn't like the foundation of every school. What's interesting and unfortunate at the same time. But so it's unfortunate, interesting, but also like, almost like it's, you're glad that it's been surfaced. And that was the pandemic exasperated, right? Like it yeah. really brought to the forefront, like where the gaps, where yeah, the gaps
it
exist.
It brought it to light.
Yes.
And it exacerbated at the same time.
Yes. Exasperated it. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's my Brooklyn accent. The light of that tunnel is that there are billions of dollars being allocated. The percentage was insanely high, but now they've gotten it. Now it's like maybe, I don't know, like around the 20-esque percent that might be without internet in schools. That still equates to millions.
Yeah.
But when you think about where that percentage was pre-pandemic, they're making huge strides, right? Though it still will take quite a bit of time, especially for rural areas and low income areas. And again, there are programs, federal and state programs that are being pushed out to, you know, address that. So even though, you know, we have all this great tech, it is kind of mind blowing that there's still like millions of us without it, right?
Yeah.
So that kind of speaks to, wait, and what did you call it again? The diverse
reckoning.
Diverse reckoning. So you mean like the fact that now more of us are starting to, you know, like really explore STEM, or we're starting, what I think it is too is a lot of like women and just BIPOC communities in general are starting to step up. I notice. Have you noticed that too?
Like, yeah,
come to the forefront. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's been more, and maybe because we kind of roll in this world that we're seeing more of it. But I feel like there's been almost like a silent push for women to show up, stand up, be up.
Yeah.
And there are many women who have taken the mantle and are doing that, which is lovely. It is lovely.
It's really awesome to see. So I'm not sure when the reckoning started, though. I feel like it was more recent, to be honest with you.
I agree with that. I feel like it's been, so there's two things for me. One is that I think, because people have been talking about the digital divide for a minute, right? As it relates to our kids.
Yes.
So this has been a talking point for, I just can't even, you know, remember.
For many years. It's been at least 10.
But it's been quiet in the sense of people are like, okay, we know it's out there, but you know what?
But and action then, didn't start until more recent, until the pandemic.
Until the pandemic happened. And then it was just like, okay, now it's in your face. Now you it's like you have to act.
Yes.
You have to act. So that happened. I also think that the diverse or diversity reckoning that I'm talking about is, I feel like there are more people who are aware that there is a diversity problem within STEM, IT, tech, you know, whatever we're talking about.
Yeah.
Than they have been before. Like people, and I think people are more willing to call it out now. Like when people are posting a picture of, you know, the 30 IT CEOs and you look and you're like, y'all realize that these are all white men, right?
Yeah.
Like, does everybody realize this? And then they're all like,
and I have to say that's to what we spoke to earlier, that's an applause to millennials and Gen Z. When I tell you, them are some calling out Thundercats. Like
they'll call it out in a minute.
They will call.
You guys see this, right?
Yeah, and I love that for us. I love that for them, right? Mm-hmm. I love this wave of they're not. They don't let just the injustice happen. And I think as we were coming up in STEM, in tech, in IT, that you just didn't do that, right? You had this fear you would lose your job of making that noise.
Yeah.
So that's why you learn how to, you know, you learn to handle situations, you know, kind of quietly. So
quietly, yes.
Yeah, but
yes, they don't do anything quiet.
They don't do anything quiet. And I love it. I love that for them. And I love that for the STEM community. I love that. I absolutely love, and I'm completely inspired and constantly, we don't need, like, we're self-motivated and ambitious, right? And you have to be in this industry, but there's an extra level of like, it just adds on like an extra level of motivation and passion to see the generation, the upcoming generation, just be so outward and just like just authentic. I also love that energy, I feel like, has waved into those of us that have been in the industry for a while.
Yeah.
And it's also why I have to be honest, and unless something is like completely not in the, you know, like not aligned with what I'm doing, I say yes to speaking engagements. I say yes. I recently was asked to do STEM in Many Colors. It's the Maryland STEM Festival having an event at one of the high schools in Baltimore. Of course I said yes. Why? Because we need to show, right? We need to show that representation to the middle schools and high schools. So students, because they are the next workforce, right?
Yeah.
And so I do love this fresh energy that has surfaced within the industry of those. And I'm an introvert, by the way. You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know it if you just
me. I see you, girl. Hey, friend. Hey, twin.
But listen, I could do without people. So listen, I could stay, you know, my tech and I'm good, right?
I love that so much.
So I love that even with that characteristic, right? That just as an industry, more women in STEM or in STEAM are coming to the forefront and providing that representation is so necessary.
Okay, so let me do two things.
Yes.
One is I need a part two.
I would love a part two. Yeah, because like I had to, and I hope I didn't scare your listeners away. About just some of the things to
no they're trust, they're used to this.
Okay, good.
They're good. So we need a part two.
Yeah,
because I have so many more questions and we are running out of time.
Okay.
Okay, but I'll ask this last one for part one.
Yeah.
And it has to do with dope nerds, right? So I really want people to walk away with like the full picture. So, you know, guys, we talked about some of her, you know, her career and her being a contractor, her, you know, doing some, she is a dope nerd.
Right? Thank you.
So I really want you to tell people what dope nerds do and where they can find you in the next coming weeks and stuff.
Oh, sure. Thank you for that. So Dope Nerds is revolutionizing the way that middle school and high school students learn. And we do that using virtual reality. We have everything from enrichment activities, educational content, of course, and we have a proprietary STEM and STEAM program workshop that we can facilitate in any venue, literally any school, any library, any rec center. Our solution is 100% portable. So we literally can roll into any venue, facilitate an activation, so to speak, and then we can roll out. And what's awesome about that is we have no dependency on a venue's resources as we, you know, which is helping with the digital divide. So for venues that, you know, have minimal Wi-Fi or don't even have it, Dope Nerds has no dependency on that. So it's one of our competitive advantages because we are all-in-one solution that can facilitate these amazing immersive learning experiences for our students ages 11 to 18.
Oof. I love anything that is helping our kids actually get the message younger and get those experiences. And
yeah,
and I said this weekend when I was at the conference, I just said, you know, we need those experiences that are like not a one and done, but like a just a, you know, one of those things that sort of piques in interest, but you're willing to, you know, do it over and over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
So I consider myself a dope nerd.
Yes, of course you're a dope nerd. Of course.
I just decided that I was going to be one.
That's right.
So what's coming up next for you?
Oh, some fantastic things. The website has just been, I'm officially announcing on your podcast, dopenerds.tech, .tech is live with a new and improved and awesome sauce website. Part of my math, the Dope Nerds mascot, Hercules. and so what's coming up? February is packed. If you are in the Baltimore area, it will be lively for CIAA, which is the largest HBCU men's and women's basketball tournament in the country.
Yeah.
They used to hold it in Charlotte for some time, and now it's Baltimore's turn. And so it will be in Baltimore for several years. So that's happening all next week. And we will be February 24th, which is a Friday. We will be at the CIAA Tech Summit. So if you're in town, come see Dope Nerds, come have some fun with some VR experiences. So not only do we have educational content that we facilitate in a proprietary STEM and STEAM program, but we also do VR gaming. So we're going to have some really fun experiences. They're all immersive. And you might see, on this side.
I see it.
Yes, a Dope Nerds VR headset there. That's CIAA. I'm very active. Okay. Hercules is a mess. There's also, and on my LinkedIn, I'm Ursula Spencer. You could connect with me there. And I'm really active on LinkedIn, so I'll be posting some other things, but CIAA is the biggest thing. Oh, and Code in Schools, which is a Baltimore headquartered organization. They've just asked Dope Nerds to participate in their Girls in STEM, you know, middle school and high school, getting them excited about STEM. And so I'm doing an activation there too, and really excited about that. So I'll have the dates and all that good stuff for you.
Yes, please. And so y'all, so this is, it's live on YouTube. So you can re-catch it. You can catch it again there. I am recording, so we'll have the audio and I'll have that out to everybody probably tomorrow. So if you didn't catch us live today, you can catch the audio tomorrow, and then the recording will be posted later in the week. So you don't have any reason to have missed this.
This was awesome. Thank you so much. And I would love a part two so that we can like get into the AI stuff. Like,
I can't wait. I have questions. So that's why
AI and VR.
Yes. All of it. I have questions for
yes.
sure. So yes, the part, yes to a part two. Okay. So we just need to.
Maybe Women's Month.
I love. Yes. Okay. So we're definitely going to have to make that happen. So I'm going to, just for people who are listening, you know, I'm going to send you the link so we can reschedule, we can schedule for Women's Month and then talk about it from that standpoint.
I would love that.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too. Thank you so much.
All right, you guys, we are going to close this live out and close this recording. I hope that you guys have lots of comments. Put all your comments in the comment sections. Hit us up on LinkedIn. You know where to find me. And Ursula has told you where to find her. We're both really active on LinkedIn, but you can catch, you know, you can put comments in the YouTube comment section, and I'll read them and get them back to Ursula. Or if you have comments for me. This has been a lovely live episode of Stimming and Stilettos. And as I say it at the end of every show, y'all, please keep yourselves safe.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Stimming and Stilettos. Please check out the show notes to get additional information about today's guest or today's topic. You can find the podcast on every major podcast platform. You can find additional information about Dr. Tasha at www.drtasha.com. Thanks again, and don't forget to tune in every Tuesday for the latest episode of Stimming and Stilettos.